A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judea. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The word of God for the people of God.
So far during this sermon series, we have been focusing on ourselves to remember who we are. We've talked about remembering our baptism. We talked about it that first week, and in fact, we've even talked about it this morning, that time and experience which goes beyond ordinary time, which is why we practice ways that we are able to spiritually remember even when we are not able to physically remember our baptism. Kendall, of course, as I've talked about, will have chances to remember her baptism throughout her life, throughout her faith journey, as we all do, as being part of a congregation, to remember that we all are children of God. She will be able to remember who she is, but also who God is. And that is what we want to focus on today, remembering who God is. The relationship God gives us and gives us that chance to be a part of, the relationship that we use in the word covenant. Last week we talked about vows, the promises that we intend to make and that we keep. Those promises which define who we are and how we choose to live. But a covenant, of course, is more than a promise. A covenant is not just to say, here's how I will be. A covenant is when we say, here is how I will be with you. We see this with God time and time again in the building and the rebuilding of God's covenants with humanity, with us. Now, the prophet Jeremiah tells his people of a new covenant, this new covenant that God will begin. It's not like the previous covenants before. So it's not like the covenant with Noah or Abraham or with Jacob or, as it was read here, with Moses and the Israelites. These will be new relationships. So new relationship guidelines that God establishes, saying how God will be with the people, guide them and care for them. If the people follow and remain open to God's presence, they will be able to see this covenant, and they will live according to the example. I think we've heard that somewhere before. Part of the vows that we take as members of the church, and when we participate in our baptism, is that we are living into this covenant. We are saying how we will be with God and we will be with one another. This is how we will live. Now, sometimes we fall short of that covenant. Sometimes we just flat out fail. We break the covenant. Maybe one of the reasons that we break it sometimes is because it can be easy to forget what that covenant is or even that it exists. Now, for those who are married or have been married, you may know what that is like, you know, to look back on that wedding day when you made those vows to that person. It was a covenant that was made between you and another, a covenant of how you were going to live together, not just how you were going to cohabitate, not just how you were going to be roommates, not how you were going to divide and share everything, but how you would live, the person you promised you would be to that other person. Now, sometimes we can fall short of that promise, that vow, that covenant, if for no other reason than as the days go by again and again and again, and we get accustomed to our routines, life just happens, and we can forget. We can forget those vows, those promises, that covenant that we made. And of course, that's not just with marriage. That's with any kind of covenant we make, whether we say it out loud, whether we say it intentionally, or it's kind of those silent, invisible covenants that we develop with friends, with family, with colleagues, with partners. Anybody that we establish a relationship with, we know that there is a covenant. And sometimes we don't even say out loud what that covenant is, but we know what it means when that covenant is broken. So what kind of covenant exists between us and God? Jeremiah is a prophet who is not only trying to call out people on the times that they have slipped, made mistakes, the times that they have sinned. And it's not just to show how God is angry with them at times. Jeremiah is trying to reestablish that connection and that relationship that the Israelites had with one another, and of course, the relationship that they had with God. Now, in the wake of the Israelites being exiled to Babylon and trying to exist in this place that they have been exiled to, the people begin to forget their old life. As the years go by, they begin to forget their identity. They begin to forget the identity of God. In the past, the reminder of God has been something like stone tablets or holy ground. You know, some sort of physical symbol or representation, some physical reminder that God has either been in that place or that God continues to go with them. But Jeremiah now is telling the people that God is going to try something new to help the people remember God, saying that the law will no longer be written on stone tablets. It will no longer be represented on a physical object. The law, God's love, is now going to be inscribed and written into the hearts of the people so that people will no longer simply know about God. They will know God. How does God remind us of this covenant? What helps us to know and to remember that God loves us? How has God reminded you that you are loved? Last week in our Disciple 2 Bible study class, we were talking about Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness, into the desert. How depressed and how complaining everyone seemed to be all the time, and that through all of that, God was with them. Now, it didn't necessarily make their situation any better. It didn't make things any easier. They were still in the desert. They still wandered. There were still people who were dying every so often during this journey. And that's the part that we don't often talk about. That just because God is with us does not mean that things will get better, at least not quickly. But it does, however, mean that we are not alone. That no matter what we go through, whether it's a time of ease or whether it is a time of hardship, we are not abandoned. We are not alone. And maybe we can only recognize that in hindsight, after a passing of time and those events. We can look back and see and remember how God was with us the entire time. Because as we know, sometimes life simply sucks. There is tragedy. There is brokenness, there is loss, there is waiting, there is pain, there is ambiguity, there's even more waiting. There are changes, and sometimes there's even more waiting. Sometimes we feel like God is not there, or if God is there, for whatever reason, God is not doing anything to change our circumstances. And that feeling of isolation can cause us to forget. It can cause us to forget ourselves. It can cause us to forget the people in our lives, the people who love us. How many here have seen the movie Coco? Okay, a few of you. I'm sorry for anyone else who hasn't seen it. I'm gonna spoil a little bit of it for you. Coco, of course, is the newest Pixar movie. You know, Pixar is all about showing how characters feel. You know, how do toys feel? How do fish feel? How do cars feel? Even how do feelings feel? Coco asks the question, how do ghosts feel? It even goes so far as to maybe ask the question, how do people with dementia feel? Because Coco is the name of the oldest member of this family that the movie is about, Mama Coco. And one of the youngest children, a boy by the name of Miguel, travels to the spirit world during Dia de los Muertos. And traveling to the spirit world, he's able to meet people of his family who have passed on. And he finds out that in order for these spirits to be able to live, to continue to exist, people in the living world have to be able to remember them and to tell stories about them. The way that they exist is that someone has to remember them. Now, in the midst of all of this, Coco, for the most part, is kind of sitting off to the side and alone. And each day, she forgets more and more, including her father, who was a musician. Now, Miguel tries to save him by coming back to the real world and trying to help Coco remember her father. And he does it the only way he knows how, by singing to Mama Coco a song that her father used to play for her when they were together. Now, I have to confess, I personally have never experienced a lot of the supernatural occurrences that many Christians have said that they have encountered. I haven't witnessed any miracle healings. I haven't ever seen anything that can only be explained as God's intervention. But I have been in places surrounded by people who have forgotten everything about themselves in their life, hear a song, and it speaks to them. And even if it's for the briefest of moments, they are able to remember. What are the things in our lives? What are the songs, the sights, the smells, that when we encounter them, they open up that floodgate of memories that maybe we have shut off for years and years? What are the things which helps us to remember who we are, who the people are in our lives, the people who we love? What are those things which help us to remember that God is there and that God loves us? So what is this new covenant? And Jeremiah writes of this covenant in which God will offer forgiveness, reconciliation, healing, and mercy and love, remembering our sin no more, but still remembering us. What is this new covenant that he speaks of? Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread, the cup, the words, the actions, they are here to help us remember. To remember who God is in Jesus Christ. To remember what Christ has done in the love he has for this world, to remember that we are always welcome back to that covenant which Christ offers to us again and again, to remember who we are. The remembrance which the prophet Isaiah says God will write on their hearts, "I will be their God, they shall be my people." That's the relationship, the covenant that God creates and recreates over and over and over again, so that we will continue to remember that no matter what happens in life, no matter what tragedies we may face, no matter how many times we may fail, no matter how many times we break that covenant, no matter how many times we forget, God never, ever forgets us. God remembers. God remembers you. And so how will we hear, How will we smell? How will we see? How will we taste? How will we touch God's way of saying, remember me? What does remembering mean for us as a part of transformation? Do we become a new person? Do we remember the person who we were? Or is it somehow spiritually all the same thing? When those memories come back, when we remember who we are and who God is, how do we go forth now with those memories, knowing that God has restored us, that we have yet another chance to be a part of that covenant, to say, here is how I will live with God, with others, and with myself. Let us go remembering God's love for us, but sharing that story. Remember the saying, people never really die as long as someone remembers them. Let us go remembering our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has fed us this day and forever. Amen.